On behalf of all the pastors here at Terra Nova, Merry Christmas. We're so glad that you could be with us this Christmas Eve. For us, it concludes a journey that we've been going on through Advent, through a preparation and a longing, through an effort to understand and embrace hope, peace, joy, and love, and to come to the conclusion that Advent must bring for us, that these things are transcendent, that the hope you will look for in this world can never satisfy the longing for something more than this, that seems to be built into us as surely and rhythmically as our own respiration, that we can look around a world that seems chronically at war. It's just what the latest made-for-television war is and which side of the death count we count to see who's winning, but it always seems to go on. And the less noticeable wars of conflict within us, within neighbors, within institution, seems to remind us that peace is not something very easily found here, but something in us still longs beyond. Joy seems to be the hardest of those four often to find. We can find moments of happiness, sensory excitement. I'm sure all you kids are going to have that on Christmas tomorrow when your parents have bought you all the gifts that they really, really knew that you wanted, and that you'll be happy and content no matter what gifts are under the tree, that you won't complain. And if you break, you'll realize if they break, it's a character-building exercise, and you'll say, Mom and Dad, thank you for giving me the opportunity to build my character with these cheap made toys. Joy is hard to find, but something in us pushes us and tells us joy is there. And love, the few tastes of the greatest thing in life many days keeps us going through the darkest times. And all of these moments of Advent point to one thing. And if I can leave us with this one brief thing this Christmas, I feel like we'll have done our job together here tonight. And that's Jesus. As we conclude and move to him, as we gather together with the double blessing of family. Family by birth, and by lineage that we'll gather with, and a spiritual family, the family of God, a people who have submitted to his headship and found all the things that we seek in him, have embraced the blessings of his Son. Let's pray together as we discuss him. Father in heaven, we are grateful that we can be called your children. We're very grateful that that's because of you sending your Son. We anticipate many things, Lord, but nothing in time has been anticipated quite like the birth of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. In this time, Lord, we pray that it would be received like it was in that first Christmas, with wonder, with joy, with singing, and with shouting. We pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My preparation for talking about Christmas really happens at odd times. One of the pastors here bought me these little water crayons that his kids have because I told him one day I do a lot of my sermon writing in the shower. So my wife will come in, and it's got to be very scary. There's like words written backwards in different crayon colors all over the shower. It's a very strange world she lives in. A lot of times it happens in the car with the radio on, and that'll just be background noise to kind of quiet everything so I can think about God. But this week, something on the radio caught my attention. I was listening to a show based on a round table, for those who know what show I'm listening to, and they brought on two people that they said are biblical scholars. Not only that, two of America's most preeminent biblical scholars. So I said, okay, I better listen because I haven't heard of their names before, so I must be one of America's preeminent idiots. And they wanted to tell what the real Christmas story was. And I thought, well, here's the time to take notes. They're going to tell us the real Christmas story. And they began to dispel some of the myths. You know, the wise men. Some of you have manger scenes set up and you have the wise men there. Go home and fix that. Move the wise men away and wait like maybe 2-3 years because it's not until Jesus is a child back home. And then bring the wise men and get a slightly older version of Jesus and have him out. And you can set that one up. So he's not there. That's right. Then things went south pretty quickly after that. Then they came up with this great idea for them that the Christmas story, just a parable, just like the Good Samaritan, just like any of the stories about there was a guy who was throwing some wheat around, and some of the wheat grew, some of the wheat didn't. They wanted to make Jesus like that. The reading didn't seem to work that way. There seemed to be something much more intelligent in even giving the details that Luke, a physician, probably consumed with diagnostic details, making sure records are right, even gave us the government officials who were involved at that time. There are a lot of pieces of Christmas that have nothing to do with the Bible story that we do embrace. We bring trees in. Some people attribute Martin Luther to be the first guy to, you know, bring in trees and drag them in. I think it even predates that. It was Viking guys who were pretty impressed that these things were green even during the winter. In an effort to be eco-sensitive, as I so deeply am, I try to convince my family every year that we should have a fake tree. It's mayhem. They scream at me and cover their ears. It's brutal. But the tree, not really part of the Christmas story. December, probably not part of the Christmas story. The shepherds are out there in the field, which probably means springtime. But Roman calendar, they were having these parties anyway, and it's the, you know, end of the season where we move from shorter days to longer days, so that was there. But to tell the real story this Christmas, we have to get beyond all of those pieces. And we move back to a place before time, a place not limited, a place where we don't crawl tired towards end, a place where nothing grows stale, a place of always, a place of permanence, a place of forever, a place inhabited by the Divine One, Father, Son, and Spirit, in perfect harmony, never dissent between them, in perfect love, never a mixed motive or a forgotten opportunity, in grace-filled action, never a waste or a regret. And out of this being came the desire to bring forth more. And God gave us creation. To understand the fullness of the Christmas story, we have to acknowledge it. God made us. The first gift of Christmas, without which we have no other, we are creatures. And that's a good thing. And out of his goodness and brilliance, God made men and women in the image of God. It wasn't long. It's only a couple pages into the Bible, so if you're a person who doesn't like to read for very long, you can find this piece. Mankind falls into sin. They turn away from what God wants. There's this ugly character called the serpent who comes in and seduces them. And God begins the message of Advent. He preaches to Adam and Eve a truth and tells them to wait, to hang on, to have an expectation for the promise of God to be fulfilled. He tells them from their line, from you, will come a child, and this one will crush the serpent's head. His heel will be bruised in the process. But this is the message. This is the promise. And Adam and Eve cling to this. And they cling as creation turns against them, and it's hard to do their jobs, and it seems more like a curse than a blessing to have a purpose in this world. They cling to it as they watch the children they loved and pray for literally murder each other with their own hands. They cling to it like we do as we watch the same things played out, just with national names to them and corporations instead of gardens. The message. And the promise of Christmas gets clearer as the prophets speak, some 700 years before the birth. At length and pains and waiting, Isaiah will say, it will be so significant that a virgin will have a child. Micah will say that child will be from Bethlehem. It'll be in a forgotten place by a woman who easily could be looked at with scorn, a woman not yet married but pregnant. The prophets speak of words like justice and constancy. In Genesis, it says that the scepter's never going to part from his hand. We won't have to worry about the hope of one more election and finding that we want another one after that when we get the person, even if we voted for them. He says there will always be justice with this one, the mighty one, the counselor. But it won't be easy waiting. For it speaks of a slaughter even, and women weeping over their children as that same dark force, that same serpent, seeks to destroy what God is doing even to this day. But life would come. Unexpectedly quiet. The king, the one who would represent that being from forever, would be born in an animal's food trough. There would be no celebration, no fanfare. There would be no welcome worthy of a king. His life really wouldn't look like much. No high SAT scores, no great world travel, no proper pedigrees from universities. He wouldn't move more than 200 miles from his hometown. He'd leave no written words behind. He would hold no political office as his legacy, no power that he could hand off to his son, no sons that he could leave, no home, no wife. The only possessions he would have would be a coat on his back that the cops who arrested him in a sham trial would take from him. They would kill him. And at 33, the rabbi's life would end and begin again. And he would rise. And we would measure time based on the significance of that one man. Billions of people on this day, all over the world, will gather to hear a simple story that many of us have heard since we were children. And when it's spoken to us, and truth accompanies it, and spirit brings its light, the other things that seem to crowd it out seem smaller. The latest toy, the thing we couldn't get, the opportunity to gather with friends and relatives, the foods we would eat, the things we would drink become secondary. Because something becomes more important than the pause of one day. Because after the one day will come every day after it. Do you know what it's like, maybe from your childhood, maybe as a parent, when you have December 25th with all of its excitement in it, and it doesn't live up to what you thought it would be on December 21st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th? The things that you got aren't as good as they were advertised. The meal that you thought everyone would love, only your aunt who likes everything commented how good it was, so you know it really didn't come out that good. The conversations you thought you could endure were nearly unbearable. You kept sucking down more eggnog than any man had ever done before, hoping it would numb you from having to talk to your brother-in-law for another 5 minutes. And then it's December 26th, and shortly after there will be bills that will come, and it's back to work, and everything seems the same. It seems like waiting for that one day just simply wasn't worth it. This Christmas, if your Advent has been waiting for one day, one high moment where you could get together and say, Jesus was born, and repeat a historical truth that people have repeated for 2,000 years, you will be very disappointed if that's all you leave with. But that birth brought about growth. It said of Jesus that he grew in stature and wisdom and favor with God and man. As you move forward as a follower of Christ, I leave you with that gift and that challenge. Are you growing in knowledge and wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man? Do you find that your life is becoming more and more shaped like that one in whom is always and ever unchanging perfection? Or do you keep him at arm's length until the day that you need to unwrap him on high holy days? Move forward. We must. Because Jesus' life didn't stop on that one day he was born. And just as he was born to enter the world in a most unlikely way, in a most unlikely place, to change in what we'd believe would be impossible, the destiny of all mankind, that we would believe that those who were enemies to God, who had turned away from him, could be reconciled to God forever. He then turned to his disciples, his church, men and women who were unlikely followers, terrorists like Simon the Zealot. The Zealots, they were known for going after the occupational force in their country, capturing them and executing them. There were quislings like Matthew, the tax collector, who worked for the occupational government and leached off his own people. There were prostitutes who had given up long ago any idea of intimacy ever meaning love and had simply reduced sex to capitalism. There were blind men and beggars who were forgotten by everyone around them. There were people like those who end up looking at me on any given Sunday at Terra Nova. People who needed to know again that God came for them. To them, Jesus would turn and said, just as the Father sends me, the Christmas message you adore of Christ, so I send you. In a short time, we'll go back to what we love to do on Christmas Eve services. We'll pray, we'll hear the word, and we'll sing, and then we'll be able to depart and celebrate. When you hear this reading that's coming up, please note the men and women who are there and the reactions they have of Mary, who will treasure what was told to her in her heart, wondering what would come and carrying it through the years. May you find that as you hear the message of Christ afresh, that you treasure it. I don't know your ages, I don't know your station in life, but treasure with expectation that God loves you and is moving you forward where He wants you to be. Like the angels who sing with joy, who erupt with heaven's chorus because they understand God's perspective, that He desires peace with men, that He is well pleased. Put away the fear that you have that God would not want you, that He's angry with you, that He's as disappointed with you as an angry parent would be. And like the shepherds who move from being forgotten, marginalized people, one commentator called them the long-haul truckers of society. People knew they were about doing their business, but no one really wanted to hang out with them very much, and you didn't see them. And they will leave their gathering place with Jesus, telling everyone this good news. This Christmas has been about anticipation, about Advent, about finding what God would have for us. About prophecies and promises like that first one. I will not leave you alone. I will send the Son. And all the promises that came after that were fulfilled. And I leave you with His words, not mine, this Christmas. They're from the prophet Isaiah, who wrote this. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, the nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal for the peoples. Of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Father in heaven, bless our pause, our time to surround again the promise that you've given. Bless with faith, Lord, those who need to hear that promise from you to them. Bless with forgiveness those of us, Lord, who have heard the promise and have had it wax cold in us and not produce what you desire. Bless with courage and grace those who step forth and proclaim again the promises. Bless with anticipation and expectation the return of the one who will make all things right. Bless with joy your people, for Christ has come. God is with us.